Aladdin Kulihi Walau Karihal Mushrikun. All praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His help, His assistance, and His guidance. We believe in Him and do not disbelieve in Him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is His servant and messenger. Allah sent Him, that is Muhammad, with Deen al-Haq, the religion, the way, the methodology of truth. This way of life known as Islam will rise to its proper position in this world, whether the mushriks like it or not. Amma ba'd, fa'inna astikal hadith kitabullah, wa awtaka al-ura kalimatul taqwa, wa khayrul milali milatu Ibrahim, wa khayrul sunani sunatu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ashraful hadith dhikrullah, wa asalu al-kasasi Hadha al-Qur'an wa kayrul umuri awazimuha wa shayrul umuri muqtada'tuha wa ashrafu al-hadyu hadyu al-anbiya wa ashrafu al-maut katlu shuhada. وأما أما دلالة بعد الهدى وخير الأمال ما نفاء وخير الهال ما وفاء وشير الأم أما الكاب. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said the most truthful of discourses is Kitabullah, or the Book of Allah. The most trustworthy word is Taqwa, or fear of Allah. Taqwa means guarding and safeguarding and protecting your religion by good behavior, by good deeds. The best of the communities is the community of Prophet Ibrahim. The best way of life is the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The remembrance of Allah is the most glorious of all things. The best of all narrations is the Quran. The best acts are those requiring the highest degree of will and determination. The worst acts are those based on innovation. The best way of life is the one adopted by the prophets of Allah. The most glorious death is the death of the martyr. The most glorious death is the death of the martyr. The most glorious death is the death of the martyr. The most wretched blindness consists of going astray after finding the right way. The best of acts are those that yield benefits. Best guidance is that which people may be able to follow. The worst blindness is the blindness of the heart. Akula kauli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khayrul mursaleen Muhammadin al-Nabi al-Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, yaqulullahu ta'ala fil Quran al-Kareem, Inna allaha wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala al-Nabi, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wassalimu taslim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina mulana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Quran there's an ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. Which is basically saying that you are the best community to be ever raised up for mankind, because you enjoin the right, you forbid the wrong, and you believe in Allah. But this Kuntum Khayra Umatin Ukrijat Lanas comes, Ukrijat comes from the Karaja, which means if you're in any of our immigrant countries, you'll see Karaj. That means exit. If you're on a highway, don't say exit. If the door says Karaj, that means to go out. But it also means to be risen up or to emerge out of. So definitely what it's saying that you are the best community to emerge out of a system of jahiliyyah was so thick and so pervasive that you couldn't even understand that there was a new life coming and that the old life was doomed. So we were so immersed, or that people, at that time, the Arabs were so immersed in jahiliyyah that they had no consciousness of what real life was all about. That relates to us also here in America. Most of us were immersed in jahiliyyah. We weren't just casual visitors to jahiliyyah. I'm sure all of us, it's Friday night, what would we would be getting ready now, right, to party all night tonight and Saturday night and stumble into church Sunday morning with the appropriate Holy Ghost to go along with everything, isn't that right? We would repent every Sunday for everything we just did Friday night and Saturday night. All the drinking, all the gambling, all the hustle. So we were immersed in jahiliyyah. So that ayat attends to us too, because it's saying you are the best community ever brought out, ever evolved. It has a sense of evolution that you evolved, right? And all of us evolved. When we took our shahada, we didn't just jump straight to accepted Islam Friday night and Saturday we was on the straight path. No, we emerged, right, systematically over a period of time. As we prayed more, studied more, we became better believers, we would say, in general. So, but it says that you are the best because, not because you're black, not because you're Arab, not because of any linguistic or historical characteristic, but you are the best because you urge people to do right. And as far as your capacity allow you, you prevent as much wrong as possible. This is the goal. This is what we all knew our job was. Now, today we want to talk about a subject, and we call it the re-Africanization of Islamic movement in North America. And we'll try to use some historical things that we can all relate to. Did anybody remember 1976 in Philadelphia, Imam Waruddin Muhammad gave a lecture called Remake the World? Anybody remember that? Remake the World. He had just ascended to the office. At that time, he would refer to himself as Supreme Leader, right? Right after that, it was a chief leader, or chief minister. Then after that, Mujaddid. And Mujaddid is what I would like to concentrate on as we talk. But if you think about all of the movements in our community, all of them were liberation-minded. You talk about the Islamic Party in D.C., a good Sunni organization, it was a liberation movement. You talk about the Dar al-Islam movement, New York, spread over the East Coast, it was a liberation movement. All of our movements related to Islam might have started back from civil rights and what have you, but by the time it really developed, whether even if it was the Nation of Islam, it stood for freedom, right? Justice and equality. Remember the flag? Freedom, justice, and equality. Isn't that right? All of our movements were liberation movements. So even as they moved from civil rights to black nationalism and then Islam came, each and every group was a liberation movement. When Imam Muhammad came into the office of leadership, he right away went to upgrade and change the movement, isn't that right? That's why even now I still refer to him in my mind as a Mujaddid, because a Mujaddid is one that will revive, renew, and restore the religion, right? And so here we are, happily, saying that a New Zealander, half Pakistani, half New Zealander, selling dope in California, had a case in 1928, or farther back than that, is God. Right? Now, are you saying we didn't say that? That we believe in the person of so-and-so who came at God in person. Now, you can't get no farther away from hot than that. Tell the truth. You can't get no farther away from truth. Now, if we was really talking about being black, we would have said Marcus Garvey is somebody's God. Somebody with big lips, wide nose like us, right? So something was definitely wrong with our whole approach to upliftment. That we would say, here is a man and he is God. And then a man whom we love, a very good man, right? But he walks and talks with God for 3 years. Now, he might have walked and talked with somebody, but it wasn't God. Right? Now, Allah brings us out of that, emerges. We're getting back to immersion. And it gets back to the leadership. A leader that can change a people's mind that was so steeped in steeper than the Arabs was. See? Because our Jahiliya was supersonic, space-age Jahiliya. Arabs were camel-speed Jahiliya. They wasn't going nowhere. But the Negro then and now is professional in Jahiliya. Expertise. Win every contest in Jahiliya. Can't nobody beat us at no Jahiliya. Now, even now, we're getting a little rusty, but nobody. And here comes a person that gives a lecture, 1976, remake the world, right? That was giving the new, at that time, let's call it the World Community of Islam in the West, a new mission, right? Right? And you can tell by the name, the World Community. It's not no more the Negro community, or the local only community, that we are a part of the whole world, right? And the world is so messed up with colonialism, with murder, with rape, with all kinds of fitness that it has to be remade. Well, now we want to go over for a few minutes of what happened during this process. Now, first of all, in the old days, we were starting masajid all over the country, you know, all over every city, right? You notice in the last 10, 15 years, it's been a slowdown. Well, what happened? It's a big scheme to slow down the real progress of Islam. I mean, dynamic Islam, renovative Islam, innovative Islam, Islam that would go into the community and remake the society. It was a push against all of our local leadership, and that was by, and I'm not against anybody, remember, I speak in immigrant communities all over the world. I just got back from Sri Lanka not long ago. I was in Iran, South Africa, don't make no, but something happened to us in our movement here. What was it? All of our movements were liberation based in our thinking. Human justice based. So what happened, and you could be able to see it easily, that all of our leadership was under attack, and there was a suppression of Islam in the African American community and the expansion of Islam in the immigrant community. You go back 30 years ago, we all had masajid, very similar. We interacted very well, right? You go around now, you go even around Dallas, all the masajid are cathedral masajid, isn't that right? They're cathedrals. I don't care. I went to the one in Irvine, a friend of mine from way back in the 80s was the head of the board of directors. And I'd ask the people, I want to make an announcement about Imam Jamil, you know, to help raise money for his case, for his family. You know, when you go to jail, it's normal for them. They gave me a runaround for 2 days, 3 days. So I went back, and they gave me the same runaround in Maghrib prayer. So as I was passing out flyers, I said, well, I'll at least pass out flyers. As I was getting ready to go, a brother walked in. He said, hey, man, what's going on? I said, I'm Lincoln. I said, yeah. I had met him in Iowa. He was a student in Ames, Iowa, in the early 1980s. And he had visited our masjid in 1982. So we gave salams, and he said, well, I'm going to go on in and go make my grip. So as he was going, this is out in Irvine, the big masjid, he went to the office, you know. I said, just a minute. I said, if you got keys to the office, you must be the chief around. He said, yeah, I said, hey, man, I want to make an announcement. The brothers gave me the runaround for 3 days here now. He said, sure. It's your prayer. I just make an announcement for 3 minutes and raise $3,000-$4,000, just like that, just in prayer time. I came back a few months ago. Yes, brothers, I would like to make an announcement. Oh, no, good God Almighty, you can't make no announcements. My friend is now not the head of the, he's not the head of the board of directors anymore. And so, the brothers tell me there's no walk-ins anymore. You can't walk in. I said, at our masjid, I said, the sunnah was all walk-ins. Everybody walked into the masjid and said, Rasulullah, I need such and such, right? And he would say, does anybody have what this person needs? Isn't that right? That was a walk-in. You didn't sign up at the door or wait for 2 weeks, right? If nobody had anything, he said, they would come at the next prayer. And he would say, the brother needs such and such. Right? And find somebody who said, I got it. One hadith, the person says, the person needed a camel. He said, I don't have a camel, but I'll take him to someone that does. And then this is where we get the hadith from, that one that leads someone to the guidance get equal to the one that is guided. You see? So no walk-ins. I was just saying that to say that over the years, something has happened. And it's just too hard to cover it all. I'll mention 3 things. Re-Africanization of the Islamic movement in North America. De-Israelization of the Islamic movement in America. And of course, shaping and herding. That means a system can shape your behavior by what it do to you. Shaping and herding means that if you blow up a building and blame it on the Muslims, now the Muslims are scared to go out and say, man, Islam is good. If you go back 15 years ago, in our neighborhood especially, everybody looked at Islam in a positive way. Isn't that right? Because they knew the Muslims was on their side. Now they say, this is a little too hard for me to practice, man. I can't get high, I can't do no drinking, all again. But it's good for you, right? In our neighborhood. Everybody say, no, man, Islam is good. And if you accept Islam, everybody in the neighborhood know, man, so-and-so can't talk to him. He won't get high. You know what I mean? The brother is praying. I saw him pray myself 3 times in 1 day. And he's supposed to pray. I think he prayed another 2 times. So here's a man that was getting high all day long, and now he's praying 5 times a day. He can't have no time to get high, for sure. And we don't have nothing to talk about. This is your best friend in Jahiliyyah, right? You don't have nothing to talk about because you're trying to be a positive influence. This is the way people see Islam in our neighborhood. If all of a sudden buildings are blown up all over and we ain't had nothing to do with it, and whether it's Osama bin Laden, he might exist. But we know from our history, that every time one of us try to do some good, he winds up dead, right? He winds up in jail, huh? he winds up all, even in the early years of the Nation of Islam. Remember how they were trying to take all the kids back in the early 30s? All kinds. So we know the price of struggle in America, right? So they don't want you and I to have anything to do with the real Islamic movement. So what do? They push and elevate the immigrant community. Why? Because immigrants come and they ask to come here. Please, can I come here? Oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to send money back home. And if you notice, the immigrant community don't have no chat, no fight. You know what I mean? It ain't got no real fight. If they say, you guys did this, you guys did that, don't nobody stand up and say, wait, hold it. Now, what are you talking about? We don't believe if somebody blew up a train station, you blew it up and blamed it on us. So you could justify, right, your oppression of us. That's his history. We had a couple of programs. I'll leave a few of these. This is a long little list of things, but one of the programs we had in D.C. was how to punk the FBI. We go down to the FBI building and we say, you got nothing but a bunch of punks and cowards. They can't do nothing about it. Freedom of speech, right? And who has that attitude? Does the immigrant have an attitude? No matter how often he beat him upside the head, right? No matter how often he kick him in his behind, he do not have the attitude. But we've been born and raised here, right? We know who has dealt with us, how they deal, and we can almost predict their behavior, right? So somebody is trying to steal our birthright from us. What is that birthright? That birthright is this. We might have been brought here and lived here for 100 years, hundreds of years in slavery. But when we heard La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, we accepted. They talk about people accept Islam with the sword. Any of you accept Islam? Anybody hold a sword or a baseball bat over your head to accept Islam? The story is too long. What happened? They want the immigrant community to have the management of Islam in North America. Therefore, they quiet the Negro down. Because the Negro has learned to stand up for himself, to stand up for Islam. And he knows in his neighborhood, Islam stands for transformation. Here's a people, a person, or a group that wasn't good for nothing, that was making no contribution to human development at all. And then here's the people that come and say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah, and they got a bomb under their arm. Remember? I don't care if, even if it was in the joint, right? You still had books under your arms. You wanted to study, how do I become a better human being? Is that right? This is the whole process of Islam in our neighborhood. So if they come and tell us that Islam is based on terrorism, we tell them that you have to be insane. And we're not going to allow you to do things all over the world and in the United States, blame it on us, and then we accept it. You see, that's where shaping and hurting comes in. That's why until the day before yesterday, when the Israelis that treated these boats and boat people so bad that the people were scared to demonstrate. This is the first demonstration they had, and I don't know when. Why they wouldn't let nobody speak at the masjid out in, I guess at Richardson or somewhere. Because I remember the Holy Land Foundation was here, right? They put all, they confiscate all their money, they scare them to death. So, they're too scared to raise money to help anybody. Why? Because anybody we help, they can label them a terrorist. Isn't that right? Any foundation, any organization that was doing good work for a Muslim anywhere in the world, all they do is say, you're helping some terrorists. And they'll say, you're Al-Qaeda. They say, we support terrorism in Southeast D.C. I said, who can we terrorize? Southeast is just like our neighborhood here, right? I said, who could we terrorize? I said, our neighbors love us. Our people during Ramadan, it's for iftar every night, it's more than neighbors come to iftar than Muslims. And then the next year, guess what? The neighbors that was coming in just to eat and listen and look around are now Muslims. So we're not estranged from the neighborhood. We are part of our community. And you can't tell no one in our neighborhood that we're involved in terrorism. All they want is their kids to go down and play with the Muslim kids because Muslim children seem civilized. And over the years, we have seen those children grow up and do work and humanitarian activities, come back and teach in their school and all and on. Right? That's what Islam is for. We're not going to put up with shaping and hurting, changing our behavior. Like behavioral science. Put someone here and they'll move over there. So no shaping and hurting for us. And this re-Africanization of the Islamic movement means that the whole Western world is out against Islam. And we all know it, everybody knows it. You and I are here in America, isn't that right? Now, what do you think Allah want us to do on behalf of Muslims all over the world? Therefore, we have to stand up for the Muslims in Kashmir. Why? Because the Kashmiri Muslims here in America won't say nothing. They will not say nothing. So we have to stand up for our Muslims, brothers and sisters in Kashmir and Hindustan and all of those places, right? Because the immigrant Muslims asked to come here, and therefore they're happy to be here, but they will not take a militant position. And we don't hold it against them, and I'll tell you why. When we were in exile, you know, the Black Panther Party and others were, you know, they were after this league. So we was in Algeria, and in Algeria, there was some government harassment of the people, but we never spoke out about it, and we was there for radicalism. We never spoke out about it. Why? Because we asked the government to go there, and we wanted to live there in peace, so we never challenged the government there. You know why? Because we were immigrants from here. When we moved to Black Africa, like Tanzania and other places, we didn't speak out against the government harassment of the people of Tanzania. You know why? Because we were immigrants there. We come from America, the white man and the devil, what that boy, you couldn't get no more fiery than we were. But we didn't say nothing overseas because we were immigrants. We understand how our immigrants feel. It is not the job of the immigrant community to stand up to American criminality. It's our job. But we're not going to let anybody steal our birthright, isn't that right? So to make a long story short, here's what happened. Brought here in slavery, brainwashed, language, culture, religion, everything, 45% of us are Muslims when we come here. All of it is taken away, isn't that right? So much so that I can see some of us, when we were children, we never even heard of the word Islam. That go way back. Never even heard of it. I was 17 before I even heard of it. Something like 17. I think I saw in a laundromat, must have been in 61 or 62, a few of Muhammad Speaks on the floor. And this is the first time I can remember even seeing anything with the word Islam. But the Quran and Sunnah, it was a long time, right, before we got into that mix. But when we heard about it,
when our leadership brought it to us, we accepted it and we embraced it. So Allah didn't allow us just to be brought here to pick cotton, carry it on. No. Allah brought us here to lose all human consciousness. As it used to be called the wilderness of North America, right? And we did. As soon as we heard Islam, we came back to it. Why? So that America is the new Rome. America is the new Great Britain. America is the big shot in the world. And it's our duty to straighten America out. But something we never considered. How many of you 30, 40 years ago considered citizenship as important? We never even mentioned citizenship, right? We mentioned oppression, the white man is this, but we never mentioned citizenship. You know what? Can't nobody send us nowhere. Can't nobody, we can speak out on behalf. If they send missiles from here and push buttons and they blow up our brothers and sisters in Pakistan or Afghanistan, we supposed to stand up for it here. That's our birthright. That's our mission. That's why we was allowed to come here and spend this time of misery here, so that we would learn our environment so well that we could predict the behavior of the oppressors. Isn't that right? You can predict George Bush's behavior. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You can predict it. You say George is a dummy. His daddy was a CIA. Head of the CIA. So therefore, since the son is a dummy, they're going to have to do something to make him look presidential. Boom, World Trade Center. George Bush, remember, had messed up with everybody in the world. They called him a cowboy. The French hated him. Everybody. They said, and George come out and said, well, you are old Europe. He talking to his ally, right? Remember, he called him old Europe. He said, no more French fries. We're going to have freedom fries. And no more French toast, liberty toast, right? So he was telling his own allies, you can kiss my body parts, Mr. America. So you can imagine, if his daddy know how to do things, he's going to fix things so his dumb son can look good. Boom, World Trade Center board. They can now, they got all kind of laws. They got the Patriot. They got this, they got that, isn't that right? Everything to slow down the development of Islam. But there's one group of people that they can't frighten. That's you and I. So it's our mission. It's our mission to stand up for Islam. By standing up for Islam in America, we stand up for all the other Muslims. Because our Muslims around the world are not like what they say. Right? Imagine what you see on television. Muslims are brainless barbarians. They blow up little children. They probably have some sacrifice. They do anything that's insane. That's what they say we do. Isn't that right? But have you seen any of it? In fact, have anybody in here ever even talked to a terrorist? Has anybody in here ever even wanted to do something to the American people? What? That's my cousin. Think I want to blow him up? I want to bring him to Islam. He need a weapon. But that's the regular head weapon. He don't need no, you know, bomb in his backyard. He need some troops to bust them brain cells, right? So we don't want to do nothing to nobody, isn't that right? We have no ill intention. And we're tired of watching that TV and they dishonor Islam. And they bomb the Muslims, and they kill the Muslims, and it's our job to stand up for Muslims here and all over the world. That's our mission. The immigrant community will not do it because they're afraid. We would say, in old days, they're afraid of the white man, which is basically true. Immigrants had the same thing we did, and I moved toward the floor. Right? We used to be kind of a little afraid of the old hero, is that right? He was stringing us up and doing everything, and pretty soon we started fighting back and found out that, well, this guy can't fight at all. And the only reason he whooped us, because we're afraid of him, right? But when we moved from Arkansas to California, and you know, imagine in 1951 what it's like in Arkansas. Same thing it was in Texas. We get out there. Now in Arkansas, come here, nigga. This is a little white boy. Yeah. Carry us over there. And we just show up. Got out to California and found out that we could pop white boys in the eye. We went crazy for a while. They didn't whoop us. They didn't do the no lynchings. Hey, man, we had to learn how to control ourselves. Every time we went to the park, bop, 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 and they'd be Ramona, them niggas was after us. Of course, we matured after a while. But Allah blessed us to lose our fear. People, and now we can embrace them as brothers and human beings, right? Why? Because we don't have no unusual expectations or fears. And that is a hadith. Before I move to a close, it's a hadith it's a hadith Qudsi. It says, Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, says Allah, I treat my bondsman according to his expectations, and I am with him when he remembers me. If he remembers me secretly in his heart, I remember him in the same way. And if he remembers me in public, I mention him in a gathering of better creatures. But this is saying, this is hadith Qudsi, Allah is saying, I am to the believer according to what he expects of me. And the commentary is saying that, the hadith commentary is saying, if the believer expects small things from Allah, right? He just asks, oh Allah, I need a job, oh Allah, you know what I mean, I want to get an A on my test. Okay? That's what he gets, because that's what he expects. But if he says to the creator of the universe, oh Allah, help us make this better world, a world of interconnected global harmony, it's all possible, right? We can raise enough for everybody. We don't have to have oppression. Now this is 2010, right? All the problems in the world can be fixed. We can fix it so well that we can be part of what we call the Earth Liberation Movement or the Earth Rights Movement, that we could stop the parasite, the human being on Earth, right? Which is a parasite, is killing the host. It's like the flea killing the dog. This bum, the human being, has went so far off track that he is killing the living organism called the earth. Isn't that right? So it is now, I don't want to go into it, but it is the struggle that the angels had. When Allah says, I'm going to create a man in the earth, he's going to have a little attitude, he's going to create mischief and bloodshed and things, is that right? And he did. But Allah is telling the angels, because the angels have limited knowledge. He says, I know what you know, but I know what you don't know. Now it's time for that one, that Khalifa, right? A Khalifa is a supervisor. A Khalifa is a custodian, isn't that right? It is time for the human being. And you and I involved in this reorganization. They call it global redesign of an earth-friendly environment. That means that it's friendly to the earth itself. Now, who would be crazy enough to mess up the earth? And that's where you get everything from. Well, oil companies, they could have dropped it. 25-ton cement block of cement on top of that pipe. But if they did, they wouldn't be able to pump all the oil out of it. So they said, we have to drill a whole nother well. So we'll just let it mess up the whole Gulf of Mexico. Right? For money. That's the man that the angels was talking about. He'll create mischief and bloodshed. He'll spoil everything. And the angels are speaking from their limited knowledge of a universe, or earth, that they see it's working perfect. Why bring this guy? If he do wrong, he'll blow a whole show, which he has, isn't that right? But Allah said, I made this guy. I know he's going to mess up. But at the right time in history, I know what you know not. Just reading in the Quran, it's there clear as day that this human being, right, Homo sapiens, Homo erectus, whatever you call him, is going to, and this is our job, to rise up to our mission, to be brought out of our lethargy and our history, and our history will not rule our vision, our imagination. Right? Our vision of Allah is saying, you visualize anything and I'll take care of it for you. But if you just want a small, if you pray for a house, okay, you got a house. But what is it that if you ask, oh Allah, I want to play a part in making this earth, this universe, as beautiful as it was when you put it together? Right? Why won't we pray for that? That's all we're saying is, it don't cost you no more. You can pray for a little house, a little car, a little money in the bank, fine. Allah will give that to you. But you cannot pray for nothing. The hadith is clear, right? If you pray for this universe and millions of other universes, it would not exhaust Allah, isn't that right? You cannot pray. Your mind is not structured. It will not hold. Your voice cannot carry any message even close to the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are none. Isn't that right? So that's all we're saying, brothers and sisters. As we move to a close, we want to remind ourselves that Allah gave us a blessing to come to Islam. Now, whatever holds us back, we have to move into, we're thankful that Allah pulled us out of that jahiliyyah. But what about everybody else? What about Allah's man? He's got to make things right, isn't that right? Isn't that what Imam Wahidin Muhammad said in 1976? That was his, he said, man, we got an organization, we're going to remake the world. I'm not going to get into all of what happened, all the snitches that was in there, and the movement, all the crooks that was in there. And I mean, you know what I mean, it's a long story. But the farther he got, the harder it was. Because he didn't have the material. When I was in Leavenworth, the captain, the secretary, and everybody else from Philadelphia, where Jeremiah was in Leavenworth. Nathaniel Muhammad, his brother, was in Kansas City. The captain, the secretary, and the lieutenant from Kansas City was all in Leavenworth, 5 miles away from Kansas City. A few months later, Nathaniel Muhammad get a case and get sent to the federal penitentiary in McNeil Island. He came on, radio said, this is the white man. Set me up. Of course, now we all dope dealers in the penitentiary. And all the, we know who he's selling dope to. We know. Imam Muhammad sent a group of investigators there. Nothing. That's nothing. That's why he found out, hey man, this ain't the white man did this. This is our people losing consciousness of what our mission is. Undermining the great movement, the great organization. Reason he couldn't do the job is because he couldn't do it by himself. Some of you will remember in 85 and 3 or 4 years ago when the man was on the podium, he said, these, y'all remember that? These people ain't with me. Right? He's talking about all the big shots. And guess what? We agree with him. The reason that the movement didn't reach an apex is because the people in it was not thinking about what Allah was. They was steeped in this jahiliyyah, getting a few dollars, right? And I'm going to go and close, but our mission, let's think about our mission, dear believers. Huh? Let's not let our people who had good intentions and did a good job just to bring us from whatever we was in to where we are now. It's pretty good. Ain't nobody else been able to do that, right? That in itself is a high achievement. But what about us? We have to earn our place in paradise ourselves. We can't live off there, right? They'll be judged. Our people in the past will be judged. They'll get the reward for what they did. You and I will get the reward for what we do, and we'll close with this. The world really needs you and I. All the deprivation and isolation and all of that is gone. We are in the most pivotal part of the world at the most critical time where good people are needed. All we're saying is, let's get refired up on our deen. Let's go in the Quran. The mission is in. Our mission has already been selected to be the spokespeople for the Muslims of the world, because the people of the world are looked at by what Channel 5 say, right? If they come on the news and say, y'all did this to me, that's why we fight. They say, that's a terrorist. Right? They can't say that to us. Because everybody knows what we was before, isn't that right? In my neighborhood, I was definitely the biggest dope dealer, probably in Northern California. Yeah, I got a picture here. Now that's sharp. Y'all know this. Can't hardly see it. That suit right now would cost $20,000. Mink and everything. You know when we was really Negroes. I'm not talking about professional jahiliyyah. I understand what a professional jahiliyyah is because I sent it to the hierarchy. That is selling dope in California, moving to Medellin and Bogota in Colombia, and living in Sinaloa, Mexico, sending all the dope up here that we can to kill our people. I'm saying this because we helped. We helped break the back of the movement, right? I'm not imagining, well, I think the American government sells dope. I'm telling you, I know they do because I was helping them. And when I thought about it, I realized where all of my big connections came from. Right? Then when I moved to South America, I knew what it was all about. It was to destroy our people. And I just quit. They didn't come get me. I just quit. I said, I ain't doing that anymore. That's it. And then Allah opened your eyes and your heart to Islam. I'm saying that the last time we have a great mission. So we ask ourselves, we implore ourselves, brothers and sisters, let's reach on up to the highest level. And when we ask Allah, ask Him for big things. Right? Because you can't ask nothing that Allah can't give you. Is that right? So let's ask for a better world, the best of worlds. And then ask Allah to allow you to play a part. To play a part in establishing that new world. Oh Allah, we seek thy refuge from anxiety and grief. We seek thy refuge from lack of strength and laziness. We seek thy refuge from cowardice and niggardliness. We seek thy refuge from being overpowered by debt and the oppression of men. Oh Allah, suffice us from what is lawful, keep from us what is prohibited. With thy grace, make us free from what?
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.